this comedian Bill Engvall, I know what you're thinking. You cannot be a blue-collar comic because you were on the show with Mr. Media.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Ontario's rising contribution to country music, singer Amy Rose. Oh, and wait till you hear this girl sing. Stick around, and if this redneck reunion's rocking, don't come a-knockin'. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Give it a test drive today at stitcher.com/mrmedia, Mr. Media. I love this free radio app, and I think you will too. stitcher.com/mrmedia. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of rednecks, white and blue collars, who've all finished their chores for the day and are ready to kick back, swig a few crazy Canuck brews, and party hardy in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. One song is all it took for me to invite singer Amy Rose to be a guest on the show today. If you can find a woman whose voice, demeanor, and spirit is any more country than this young woman's, I suggest you sign her and you get her to Nashville. But in the meantime, I want you to give a listen to the pipes on Amy Rose in her rising country single, I Just Want You to Know. Or her earlier song, Redneck Reunion. That one in particular, very fun, and she sings the hell out of it. Okay, look, I'm not your typical country fan. Maybe you can see that looking at me. I don't know if it's that obvious. But every so often, I hear a song that really grabs me. In the last few years, it's been a couple by Big and Rich, been a couple by Gretchen Wilson, who I've actually invested money in iTunes in, and I'll do it again, and actually did it a little while ago for Amy Rose. What do they all have in common? Okay, my opinion. Attitude, sense of fun, and a little mischief. Oh yeah, and they sound really good. So tonight, we're not only going to talk to Amy Rose, she's going to sing a bit for us, too. You can probably tell because there's a man with a guitar sitting behind her. Amy Rose, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Glad to have you guys here. You know, I'm sure that you know this, or maybe you don't, but there are easier ways to make a living than to try to be a country singer.
No, you're telling me. Tell me all about it.
Oh, God. How long have you been at this now?
You know what? I released my first album when I was 13. I went on the road for a bit, a gospel medium tour with Joni and Kathy Twitty. And then I released my second album when I was 16. And then I took some time off to have a family. And years later, very many, many years later, I'm back with a brand new album and a brand new attitude and a whole new sound.
Well, okay, so what is the difference between Amy Rose today and Amy Rose at 13 and 16?
You know what? I grew up a lot, I think. You know, I've got children now, and, you know, it's not like I just have myself to worry about. I've got my kids now and the whole genre of things, right? So I guess in maturity, you grow in music, and that's exactly what I've done.
It's interesting because you would think you'd have a different approach. Well, I'm sure you have a very different approach to it now than you did when you were a kid. Not to say you're not a kid now, but, you know, you have kids, so obviously. Is it easier for you to tackle a career like this now than it was then?
You know what? I don't know that it's a lot easier. You know, back when I was trying to make it was in the younger days. I was competing against Leanne Rimes and Lila McCann and Jessica Andrews. You know, we were all kind of the same age and all kind of going for it. And you know, the album the second album did really well, but there's a time where you kind of, there's only so much that you can give, and at that point I thought, you know, I had reached my limit, and I needed a break. I needed some time off to kind of find Amy, and in that time I got to do some songwriting, and I got to meet two of the most fantastic producers that I could possibly ever meet, and had a chance to work with them on this album. And you know, because of that, I found the true Amy. I found the type of music that I was born to make.
And what is that what brought you back to the business, or was it something else?
It's funny because at that point I had I wasn't even considering coming back. I was pregnant with my third daughter, and I had met Glenn Colson, which is one of the producers on the album, and it was kind of his encouragement that said, you know, you're kind of, you know, why don't you, you know, let's make an album, or let's do this, and you know, don't just waste your talent. And I kind of thought, well, you know what, I do miss it, and I do want to get back into it. And lo and behold, we went to Nashville and we recorded some songs, and you know, I would have never guessed in a million years that I Just Want You to Know was going to be this popular. So I'm just happy. I'm happy people are loving it.
Okay, now tell me the real story. You got three girls and you just had to get the hell out of the house.
That's it. That's exactly it.
I got one and that's my excuse. I mean, you know, I could completely respect that as your answer, frankly. So do you have a different, I don't know, at 13 and then 16 in that age area, are you even thinking at that point about people that you'd like to model a career on versus now? And, is there someone now?
You know what? My answer has always been the same with that one. I idolize Dolly Parton. Love her to death. She's honestly probably the best entertainer that, you know, known to mankind. She's just so funny, laid back and relaxed. And honestly, I idolize her and I want to be like her. So, it's, you know, I try to put that type of sense of humor into my songs, like Pretty Little Women, you know, because that's honestly, we're really not that different. Our families are kind of redneck. Like, my family is the biggest redneck bunch you'll ever meet. God, it's almost like going to a wedding, and it's like, who's wearing the best suit? In our wedding, or like at our family reunions, it's like, who's wearing the best t-shirt with the rip in it, you know?
Oh, come on, come on.
No, I'm really not joking.
No. Okay, no disrespect then to Amy's family. Sorry, I didn't realize that was just the way it was.
Oh gosh.
So you're living the music. Good for you. Good for you. God. Well, and so I mean, how are you dealing with it differently today than you did then? I mean, are you more focused on making it as a career, or are you, or as art, as, you know, I mean, what's different today?
You know what? I think I'm a lot more stronger emotionally than what I was then. You know, because it's, you're in the public eye and it's all social media and people are going to say things about you, and some of them not so nice. And it's a cutthroat industry at times, right? So, you know, back in the day when I, you know, had released my first album, it was like any bad negative thing I would read about myself, I'd be like, oh my God, my life is over. You know, all traumatic teen stuff, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like, you know, if there's a bad thing said or written, I'm like, okay, let's move forward and you know, let's try to, you know, beat that, and let's, you know, let's make them like me. Damn it, they're going to like me.
I can see that. And so, I mean, a song like... Well, tell me, I mean, who wrote Redneck Reunion?
I actually co-wrote it with my producers, Marty Beacock and Glenn Colson.
Okay. And, I mean, the thing about a song like that, which I love the song. I mean, I think I was clear about that in the introduction. Really enjoyed the song. And the thing about something like that is, though, I'm guessing there has to be a fine line that you walk between kind of celebrating redneck and redneck culture and kind of tweaking it a little bit, making a parody in some ways, especially like in the video, and then not insulting your audience. How do you know where to draw the line?
that's a good question, because honestly, I don't know that. The director was the one that came up with the whole concept, and that was part of, you know, when we had sat down, we had said, you know, we don't want to insult anybody here, you know, let's just you know, because rednecks are rednecks, and most rednecks, you know, all rednecks, they just want to have fun. They're, you know, out for a good time. They want to drink. They want to dance. They want to, you know, just party. And in terms of that, that's what we wanted to bring together in this song and the video, in fact. So, you know, we tried to do it in a fine line without insulting anybody, and we hope it didn't insult anybody. Let's cross our fingers.
it seems like you walked the line right down the middle of that. That was good.
Let's hope somewhere there's not a mean message that was sent to my manager that he's just not boarding on.
No, I'm sure not. And anyway, who could read it anyway? Rednecks can't. Well, never mind.
I didn't mean that. No.
So, you guys are going to perform a couple songs for us today. The first one, I think you said, would be I Just Want You to Know. Who wrote that? And then maybe you can introduce the young man behind you.
Yeah, Max Martin wrote that song. And believe it or not, that was actually a Backstreet Boys song that was put on one of their albums as a filler. Many years ago. And a friend of mine who was a huge Backstreet Boys fan had brought it to me probably about 5 or 6 years ago and said, you know, this is a really good song. I think you should redo it in the country. And at that point, I wasn't getting back into the music industry, right? So, you know, I just kind of put it on the side and went, wow, it is a really good song. And then when I had met Glenn and Marty, I showed it to them, and they had said, you know, wow, that's a really good song. Let's cut it. So we did it.
Very cool. That's what you're going to perform now?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to perform it. And beside me is the amazing Dan Kogel. He is one of my performers that does every show with me. He's fantastic. So I'm so happy to have him here.
All right. And this song is available on iTunes and Amazon and all kinds of places where you would normally download. So give it a listen. I'm going to turn my audio off, and we'll all enjoy I Just Want You to Know by Amy Rose with Dan Kogel.
Through, and there's nothing ever.
Very nice. Thank you. Very nice. And you know what I was thinking about was, so I didn't know before we talked that this was a Backstreet Boys song before. I got to ask you, do you know who sang it for the Backstreet Boys?
Sorry?
I'm sorry. Do you know, you mentioned that it was originally a Backstreet Boys song, kind of a filler song for them. Who sang it? Do you know?
I think it was like all of them.
Oh, okay.
I think it was like all of them that did it, like all five of them.
That's a good answer because I don't know who any of them are anyway. I just figured, you know. I mean, you know.
I really couldn't tell you.
You know, I mean, I understood at some point that the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC toured together, and to me that would be the most confusing thing to watch because I didn't know who either of them was separately. Put them all together, I don't know. I mean, I know Timberlake came from one of those bands, right?
NSYNC, I know that one.
Okay, well, see, I didn't even know that. I have respect for him individually. I think he's done a fine job. But that was very nice. And I can only imagine how difficult it is to sing acoustically in front of a computer with some idiot stranger looking at you, so anyway, it was beautiful.
I'm in your underwear right now, I gotta say.
Well, that would be okay if I was, never mind. So,
please,
please, send the letters to her, not to me. I know. I have never brought up the word underwear in an interview, ever, ever. Amy, the fact that you were singing so young leads me to think that you come by this talent very naturally. It's not that maybe you've trained for it, but there's a lot of natural talent that must have just been there to start with.
I don't know if it's so natural. Like, it's something that I worked at. I was like 5, I think, when I entered my first competition. And at that point, I think my parents just said, well, there's something here. Let's work with it. So from there, I went on and I did music lessons and I studied music and I mastered yodeling by the age of 11. So yeah, it takes a lot of hard work.
I have to ask because is that a common skill in Canada? Because I don't know a lot of kids here in Florida that are yodeling.
You know what? When I started yodeling, it was because I was a big fan of Patsy Cline and that's what she did in her music, right? So I remember like going, I want to learn how to do that, and my parents were like, well, you know, that's, I don't even know what that is, and I was like, well, let's look it up. So, yeah, needless to say, we found what it was, and I started started working at yodeling, and to the point where it was a hobby of mine, where I would come home, and I'd do it, like, for, you know, 6 hours a night, going, you know, I'm going to go up to the shower, and I'm going to, you know, go something.
What's that sound? Oh, that's, you know, that's Amy. She's yodeling. I know, but it's been hours now. Couldn't you buy her a drum set instead?
I know.
Right?
Could have been a drummer.
I mean, yeah, you know. Was there ever any thought of going into another type of music, rock and roll, or even, I don't know. I mean, you seem to have the pipes that you could do something even like opera. It just seems like...
You know what? I actually used to do opera. You know what? In our shows, like in our live shows, we add a lot of rock into it. Like we do AC/DC, we do Heart, we do what do we do?
Oh,
we do a lot. Yeah.
Leonard Skinner.
Yeah. We do
a lot. Bon Jovi a few shows.
Yeah, we do Bon Jovi.
Never mind. I was just thinking of something. I won't even say it out loud. Something about doing Bon Jovi, and I just decided to let it go. So, is it strange that, I mean, you know, you work those early years, you've come back, years in between. Are you finding people who come to see you who know you from the earlier years, or most of the people who are seeing you now, are they discovering you for who you are now?
You know what, we've had some. That you know, were there when I was little and they said, oh, I remember seeing you when you were like this high, and, you know, so, and it's great that they kind of find me, you know, it's a, they're like, oh, she's playing, and they come just to introduce themselves, so it's great, and it's exciting to have those fans kind of follow you.
That's nice. And how old are your girls?
Dana is 11, Olivia is 4, and Ella is 2.
And, so the oldest probably, has a sense of you as a performer, probably the younger girls, maybe not so much.
Yeah, it's hilarious because my 11-year-old, when Party of the Redneck first came out and it got picked up by CMT and then some other stations in the U.S. and it was playing all over the radio, she had literally come home one day from school and she goes, Mom, do you think that it's time that we get me a bodyguard? And I'm like, what? And she's like, well, the paparazzi are going to want to know what your kids look like, right? Oh, my God. Only my kid would say that. Listen, if the paparazzi is going to follow you around, then, you know, we'll get you a bodyguard. But until then, I highly doubt.
We'll make an adjustment at that point for you, sweetie.
Yeah.
Yes. That's great. It's not like, Mom, how much money do you make now? Or, you know, can we get a better table at McDonald's? It's paparazzi, and they're going to want its pictures of us, you know.
Exactly.
Man. You're going to do a second song for us, right? This is Waiting on Sunshine. And what should we know about this one?
This is going to be our next single, and we're going to be shooting a video for it in February, March. I'm very excited about doing this one. It's one of my favorite songs.
Very cool. Well, I will again duck out of the way. And folks, Amy Rose, Dan Kogel with Waiting on Sunshine. Here we go. Beautiful. Thank you very much. That was really nice. Really nice. And I want to point out, coming to us live from Barrie, Ontario.
Canada!
Thank you. before we wrap up, I was told that you guys were in Nashville recently and had some interesting experiences there. Anything you want to tell us about?
Well, I got to play the Fill-In Station, which is a great show in Nashville. Actually, just outside of Nashville, Houston Springs. And I got to play with the amazing Porter Howe from Little Texas. So definitely an excitement on my list. And so, yeah, he walked into, we were at the rehearsal hall for the show, and the door opened, and this, like, light appeared, and he walked in, and joking, there's no light. So he walked in, and I was like, oh, my God, what is he doing here? I'm like, playing with you, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
So, yeah, definitely a highlight.
Very nice. And is it, maybe I'll make this the last question. I'll throw in one more. This is the bonus round. So is it hard to be in Barrie when, you know, the country music business is so much of it is in Nashville? Is it, you know?
Obviously being Canadian, you got to go to the States to make it, right? It's Music City, right? We like to say that, you know, it's so easy to make it in Canada, but there's a lot of great talent out there, and it's not easy, right? Just like going to Nashville, and everybody down there, like, you think, you know, wow, you're down there to sing, but you know what? Half the population in Nashville is there to sing. So, definitely it's a place to be, and you know, I foresee a lot of trips coming back and forth there, and I think that's going to be my whole life adjustment is on the road traveling, which I'm looking forward to. And you know, if it leads me to move to Nashville, then you know, so be it. Let's pack up the family and let's go, there.
Oh, you're going to take the kids with you? I'm sorry, you weren't listening earlier in the conversation. That's you know,
I'm going to stay behind with their daddy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, listen, you can find and download Amy Rose's music at great online retailers such as Amazon and iTunes and all the rest. Or you can order right now while you're looking at this video, listening to the show. Right below us, there's the link. Click on it. Take you to a great price. You can buy it right now, right here on MrMedia.com via Amazon. I don't have my own, you know, server with the music on, I just want to say. But you don't even have to delay. You can order right now. You've got a website. I think it's amyrosemusic.com.
Yeah.
Right? AmyRose music.com. And you're on Twitter, right?
I got me a Twitter.
Got me a Twitter. That a girl.
I got me a Twitter. I got me a MySpace and the Reverb Nation and a Facebooker.
I got me a Twitter, and no one's going to slap the redneck out of me. Not going to happen. Oh, and she's got herself a YouTuber, too. Got herself a YouTube channel, and I just subscribed this afternoon, so I know it's there.
Oh.
Well, Amy Rose, Dan Kokel, thank you guys so much for not only for being here, but performing and doing it just beautifully. And thanks for being on Mr. Media tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.